T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Arms extended. Augustine, 5 to shoot. He's got to find something. He will. 3 ball straight away. It's up. It's in. How about the little Longhorn? Triple try. Yes, sir. Magic lead 104-101. 3 seconds left in the game.
Orlando Magic Radio Network. A lot to get into on this very busy Monday. We're going to get into Tiger, Braves United. Just to update you on the NBA playoffs, which began over the weekend. Best of 7 opening round. Used to be best of 5. Which would have made some of those losses more meaningful, but it's best of 7 now. And you had 3 teams. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. 3 teams, Hugh, that lost home games, 3 of the favorites to start their series. Philadelphia lost at home to the Nets. Toronto lost at home in that game to Orlando that you just heard. And Denver lost at home to San Antonio, where Derek White. San Antonio finds guys. They just find guys. Derek White? Okay, they just find guys.
It's the playoffs, John. Yeah. It's time to step your game up. That's the beautiful part about being in the playoffs. It's a different game, and you hear everybody all the time always talk about that when it comes to the playoffs, how different it is.
And in addition to that, the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Pistons by 35 points, which might say a lot about both of those teams and where they are. And I wonder if you saw that game, if you saw any of it, you go, I think the Bucks are ready for the big stage. I know it's only one game, Hugh, but and it is a 7-game series, but the Milwaukee series is over. Man, the Pistons are so outclassed. Oh, my. But it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with suddenly Toronto and Philadelphia and Denver all trailing by a game and losing a game at home. And basically what happens, of course, is not only are you down a game, but you just gave up home court advantage, at least at the moment. You are kind of behind the eight ball a little bit. But that isn't what everybody's talking about. No, they're talking about Philadelphia. And they're talking about a couple of things that happened with Philadelphia. We'll get into the cell phone thing in a moment. But let's go to this loss. Hugh, so much was put on, was Philadelphia the team? And again, it's only a game, I get that. But were the Sixers the team that was going to be the surprise team coming out? And they go out, and not only do they lose to the Brooklyn Nets, they lose at home by 9 and play terrible basketball.
Yeah, and I think that this has been kind of a trend for the Sixers even before the end of the season. They were in a little bit of a slide. I know Joel Embiid was a little bit banged up, and I think he came back and he played in his last game. But you're talking about that time that he had off for getting ready for the playoffs. They looked a little off. They looked a little off the other night.
And that was something that led the Philadelphia fans to do what they do. They booed their home team because this is Philadelphia fans. But then the Sixers compounded it. Boy, the Sixers had a bad weekend all the way around when Ben Simmons decided to go to Twitter and tweet out at the fans – and kind of call them out on Twitter. He said on a tweet, if you're going to boo, then stay on that side. That's how I feel. That's probably not the best thing in the world. And here's Ben Simmons talking about the Philly fans booing.
If you're going to boo, then stay on that side. So I feel if you're a Sixers fan, you're going to boo, stay on that side.
I mean, I played in Philadelphia, and I know how passionate they are. And if you don't give them nothing to cheer about, I don't know any fan base that's going to cheer for you. When, you know, you go out there and you lay that big old stinky turd like you did the other night against the Brooklyn Nets, a team that you're supposed to be better than, and for you to sit there and try to chastise the fans, that's probably not the route that you want to go as an athlete.
Probably not the route you want to go in Philadelphia. No.
Yeah, well, anywhere, John. I mean, you know, to get mad.
Yeah, but they're beer throwers in Philadelphia.
Well, yeah, they get a little hype. They get a little hype in Philadelphia, and I'm not saying that kind of behaviors condone, not saying that, but you don't need to put an X on your back, especially when you have teammates out there on the sideline that are sending text and tweeting and things of that nature. That's not a good look, because now what you've done, even though you've tried to chastise the fans, they're going to look at that moment and you're going to be labeled as not being prepared for the playoffs. And God forbid the Brooklyn Nets, if they knock you off, if they beat you in advance, oh, boy, you're going to hear about it in the offseason. You're going to hear about that a lot. You don't want that.
And what about this cell phone thing? What a wild situation. Amir Johnson is really not playing right now. And, of course, he came out later and said his daughter's sick. Okay. But he takes a first off, he's got his cell phone with him. Secondly, he's on the bench. Third, then he checks his cell phone, and Joel Embiid is looking and he's showing, hey, Joel, check this out. Now, you said it was about his sick daughter. I don't know. Maybe it was. I don't know about that.
That's not a good – listen, I'm not I take that back. I'm not trying to speculate on whether or not his daughter's sick, but it is a bad look when you got teammates looking at your text messages. That's all I'll say about that. That's just a bad look to have your phone on the bench.
Yeah, you're not paying attention to a game where you're losing by nine. It's not like you were ahead by – You were the Bucks. You're ahead by 35 with 2 seconds to go in the game. You're losing at home to the Brooklyn Nets by near double digits, and Joel Embiid is checking out your cell phone because you're going, hey, you're paying attention. You're not paying attention to the game. That's the important thing here for Philadelphia fans, and this is what Embiid said about that.
Obviously, I wasn't on my phone. I just looked down because he said that his daughter was extremely sick, and he was checking on her. I don't know. I just looked, and... But he was checking on his daughter. She's sick.
Now, as a parent, now my children weren't sick, but I remember during the game that my wife was pregnant at the time. It's like you have to compartmentalize, and that's the thing about being a professional athlete. When you're in the moment and you're playing, you have to be focused on the task at hand. Now, I understand that your daughter's sick. And, you know, I'm not blaming anybody in this situation. But if your wife know that you're at work, then it has to be one of those things that there has to be a time and a place to handle these things.
Well, either she's really sick and you miss the game because you're not really in the rotation anyway, yeah, or she's sick enough that you give your phone
to somebody that can hold it. Say, hey, you know.
In case she texts.
Yes. There's certain things, yes, and I'm with that, John. Say, give it to somebody that's in the suit, that's at the scores table, and say, "Hey, man, my daughter's sick. Could you let me know in a time like
if whenever, I gotta go?"
Yeah, or have somebody say, "Hey, Dad's on the floor right now. You really can't talk. Is it important?
Is it urgent?"
You know, there's ways you could work around.
Of course,
there's ways, but to have your phone on the sideline during the game and then have the audacity to check it, that's a bad look. That's a bad look.
We're checking in on the NBA playoffs as the Atlanta Hawks, view from afar some of the dramatics that are going on. And everybody says, well, you know, Philadelphia, that's a team you want to model yourself after. Not this weekend, you don't. Not with a 9-point loss at home to Brooklyn. Not with calling the fans out saying you shouldn't boo and stay on the side. Not with players looking at cell phones, regardless of the issue. This is a bad look for the Philadelphia 76ers all the way around. I'm not saying it's indicative of what's going to happen, but if their minds are not locked in on this series.
Yeah, that's a bad look. That's a bad look. And then on top of that, to try to come at the fans like that, that's not what you want to do. That's definitely not what you want to do. It's just a bad look as a professional athlete.
Well, all I know is that if Lloyd Pierce is from that, we may have gotten the right coach. We may have, you know, they may miss Lloyd Pierce more than they realize. And now, of course, they could lose another assistant because Monty Williams is interviewing for the L.A. Lakers job. Why, I don't know. It's like Monty, come on over here. You can interview for the job. You're not going to get the job. But LeBron wants to talk to you. What? What, Daryl? Would talk to me in my ear.
He can't. Yeah, he can't. You know. Luke got fired and got a job, like, immediately. That was kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy to get fired from your job and not even have to. Like, you barely clean out your office before you got a chance to get another job. So, congratulations to Luke Walton.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, in and out. Goodbye, hello, goodbye, hello. And LBJ fired Luke Walton, and now...
That's not fair to say, John.
Wait, but it's true.
It's not. We don't know that to be the case.
Yes,
we're speculating.
Yes, now, of listen, course we are. That's now, what we do for
listen,
a living.
I believe it being
LBJ
fair and balanced.
LBJ fired Magic Johnson.
I believe in being fair and balanced. Now, I also believe where there's smoke, there's fire. But there is nothing in this story that supports me feeling like LeBron James got Luke Walton fired.
Well, I tell you what.
Except for speculation.
If he hires Tyronn Lue, would that?
If he hires Tyronn Lue, then still, that does not give me factual information. It gives me stuff that I can speculate about, which I can do because I'm a talk show host.
Right,
I can
exactly.
I can speculate all day.
Right.
but I have to put that disclaimer in front of it.
Oh,
I can't say it. I can't say
but
it.
But you
as
can
factual.
Also speculate to fact.
No, but John, you're actually saying that that's what happened.
Well,
we can't
of course
do that.
That's what
can't. That's not being responsible.
Well, but do you not get the? All right, you tell
no,
me.
No, I get the feeling. If you ask me, do I get the feeling that
yeah.
he has something? Yes,
so, well,
I do.
There's smoke where there's fire, right?
Yeah, I get the feeling,
right?
But that doesn't mean that it's actually true. That's all I'm saying.
You don't think he ran magic out some way or shape or form?
This is what I think. If you're asking me what I think, I think that there were some conversations that were had that Magic kind of looked at and was kind of shocked what he was hearing. And he knew where it was going, but he didn't want to be privy to it. He didn't want to be privy to it. So instead of him being the guy that dropped the hammer, he walked away. That's what I think. And I think part of that was because of the dynamic that was between LeBron James and his head coach. But with all of that being said, I have nothing factual to back that up with. That's all I'm saying. I'm just trying to be a responsible
yes, you
talk
do.
Show.
Yes, you do have something factual.
That's all I'm
it's
doing.
Called, it's called history repeating itself over and over again at Coach Killer.
And again, there even with that, because we've had these conversations on the air.
Right.
There's nothing that we can factually back that up with.
Well, I get, all,
everything
Mike Brown,
is speculation.
Mike Brown,
speculation.
Dave Blatt.
Speculation.
I mean, come on. Let's go down the list.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That where there's smoke, there's fire, but we don't have anything to back any of that up with. We
now
don't.
Now Magic Johnson, now Luke Walton. I
it's
mean,
a little
it keeps
fishy.
Going on
it's a little
and going fishy. On.
I,
It's a little fishy.
A little? It's a little fishy. I'm not denying that. It's
okay.
a little fishy.
There's probably something Game of Thrones that was a little fishy. This is like a lot fishy. This is like a stocked pond
well,
of fishy.
I'm not disagreeing with you, John, okay. but again, there have been no reports that I've seen that point out that LeBron James was instrumental in the firing of any of these coaches that we talk about.
We're talking about the NBA playoffs, just catching up with them, a couple of games tonight as well, some of the big stories going on in the NBA, and all the Atlanta Hawks can do is sit back, watch, and take it all in, as we do as well, as we get ready for the ping pong balls to drop next May 14. So just a little under a month. It is April 15. It is tax day, right? Today's tax day, correct? It's also, I think it's frost day in Georgia, which means usually frost day is right around now, and I think this year it's frost day. That means that we won't have any nights below 32, and you can go ahead and plant all your plants and your stuff, which is not necessarily a good thing, because when you say it's frost day, that means the Maven is going to go to Pike Nursery and go bananas. You know, that's when she shows up with a loaded SUV with, hey, honey, look at this, 16,000 flowers. Oh, okay, I know what my day is going to be like today. But, you know, that's okay, fine, I'll deal with that. Playing in the dirt all day, that's probably what it will be. The big stories from the weekend, Braves, United, and Tiger, win, win, win across the board. It was a huge weekend of Atlanta sports. Do want to let you know that, again, we've cleared it out for the 8 o'clock hour to spend the whole 8 o'clock hour talking to you pretty much about Tiger, wanting to know if you were there. We have a poll up at 9 to 9 in the game asking about on our Twitter, asking about whether or not Tiger will catch Jack now. He has 15 majors. And I know that people had to ask in the news conference afterwards, you know, do you think you'll catch Jack? And Tiger was like, I don't know. I mean, I've got three more. You know, ask me again when I've got 17 or, you know, something like that. But, boy, I think he's feeling it now. He won at East Lake, and he said that win at East Lake changed everything for him last year because he knew he could win again. And now that he's won another major, let's keep in mind, he's only 43 years old. He's only 43. We have Bernard Langer was playing at Augusta, made the cut at age 61. So if Tiger stays healthy and he can get his, you know, back in gear and not have to go through any more surgeries, and that's what you cross your fingers to, you know what?
He might be able to do it,
John. He might be able to.
And I tell you what, for him to admit that there were times where he felt like it would never happen for him, and for so many different people to say that it wouldn't happen for him, and for him to still stay the course, this has to be so gratifying. This has to be a huge weight lifted off of his shoulders. And now, with that confidence being as high as it is right now, and if he stays healthy, like you said, I would have to think that anybody within their right mind would have to think that he's back and that he can get it done. Like, this is not – we haven't seen the end of Tiger. Boy, I tell you, to have that monkey off your back like that and to have that weight lifted and win in the fashion that you won in, you have to feel invincible. You have to feel like the old Tiger. You have to.
Yeah, well, it was one of the truly great moments I've ever witnessed in sports. In all my years of covering sports, to have him tap in on 18 and his exhilaration and hugging his kids, and with the fans chanting Tiger, 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 Tiger. You know, I mean, I was worried there that Koepka was going to catch him, and then I thought about this for a second. Like, I'm not a huge Brooks Koepka fan, but I thought Koepka makes this birdie and Tiger bogeys, and they go to a playoff, and Koepka wins. Does Brooks Koepka know that everybody in America is going to hate him?
Yeah, and everybody's pulling for Tiger.
Right. It's almost like you'd almost throw it just because, oh, my God, I can't beat Tiger at this stage.
I tell you what, too. I wonder. Like, I know we're going to probably be on the air. We're going to definitely be on the air when this happens, and I'm definitely not going to watch the recaps. But everybody who has something negative to say about Tiger, I would love to hear what the storyline is today, because there were a lot of people that do what we do for a living, John, basically gave up on the cat. Basically gave up on him and said that this, like, basically you should retire. And not only that, it was a couple people that I know personally that played athletics that really gave up on him, which I was really surprised about. I was really, really surprised about that. So I wonder what the narrative is going to be today when some of these talk show hosts get on television and they talk about Tiger Woods.
Well, you and I talked about this a couple of years ago. We said, you know, is he done? He said he was done. And to have it happen like this, what a remarkable, remarkable story. Not just comeback player of the year, but even more so than that, the fact that he's even in this position at all. Hey, football fans, we want you to tune in on draft day. That's coming up in 10 days, 10 days to the draft. Our complete draft coverage between now and then brought to you by Northern Tool and Equipment. Latest team draft updates on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our draft spots are Northern Tool and Equipment. And if you're a tool guy or a tool gal, take advantage of huge savings at northerntool.com. So that sets us up for the next segment as we roll towards our Tiger Hour at 8 o'clock. We'll check in. Falcons have made another move. Again, are they changing their model about what they're going to do in the draft? It's a big question this morning, and we're going to ask it.
Are back in action
as they kick off season 3.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Awful lot to get into today with a very winning weekend. Man, my teams and my guys were doing pretty well. I'm a ginormous Braves fan, as you know, and I've become a huge United fan, and I am and have been since I first met him when he was 16, a gigantic Tiger fan. Through all of it, I was a Tiger fan. So I'm so thrilled that he happened yesterday. I was just jumping up and down. It was quite the sight to see yesterday with Tiger winning. But let's get into a little bit of football, too, because there's a lot going on 10 days ahead of the NFL draft. And welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. The Falcons voluntary. Don't you love the voluntary air quotes workouts, Hugh?
Yeah. I mean, but it's one of those ones where you definitely have to go. Because if you don't go, then you have a problem.
But they're voluntary.
Well, it all depends. There are some people that are exempt from the voluntary workouts, but it's a good look if you go. It really is.
Will Grady and Julio be there today? They begin, the Falcons begin.
If I was a betting man, I would say yes. Both. I would say yes. I don't see Grady as the type that will hold out. I just don't.
And
you don't believe me?
No. I'm just thinking. No. I was just thinking here. I don't either. And I just wonder. It occurred to me, I said, if either of them doesn't show up, are we going to have to deal with it tomorrow morning with people all in their feelings about the fact they didn't show up for a voluntary workout?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, of course, John. It's just like, you know, that's what we do as fans. We either go all the way to the right or all the way to the left.
Uh-huh.
There's no in between. It's either this is a bad look and this is going to be bad for the brotherhood, or it's going to be great. You know, it's great that everybody's there. Optimism.
Right. We have a lot to chew on with the Atlanta Falcons. Yesterday, they went out and signed a defensive tackle over the weekend named Tyler Davidson. Tyler Davidson is 6'2", 310. He is a space-eating – he's sort of like Deidre Sinat, okay? 6'2", 310, about the same size. He is he used to play for the down in Stinky Town, where he got a reputation as being one of the better run defenders in – defensive line run defenders in the NFL – only had 2 sacks and 23 tackles and a forced fumble last year, but it's his run defense, Hugh, that has everybody wondering. Now you go out and you sign, and here's what I'm wondering now. Adrian Claiborne, right? And now this Tyler Davidson, another big load in the middle there. Are the Falcons now sort of saying, with Claiborne as a rush end and with Davidson as a load in the middle to stop the run, that maybe they're not going defensive tackle in the draft?
That's what one would speculate. You know, 26-year-old young man, big dude, 309 pounds. That's a lot of a girth in the middle. It's really up in the air, John. I would still say you still have to bolster up that defensive line. I would still go that route. You're getting some veteran players in there, but I still think that you want to get somebody there that you want to marry with a Grady Jarrett. Because I would say this, a guy like Tyler Davidson, as well as he played in New Orleans, he was not one of those the focal point of their, you know, defensive attack. Now, somebody's filling there to play the run, yes, but you still need guys that are going to get after the quarterback. So this is a rotation guy, in my opinion, and I think that you're definitely going to still go out there and get a D-tackle in the draft.
I totally agree he's a rotation guy. First down rotation guy, that kind of situation with Tyler Davidson. But it's leading to a lot of speculation. Charlie Casserly and others at CBS are now reworking their mock drafts 10 days out, and a lot of them are starting to say that, you know, with the aging Alex Mack at center, he's 33 now, with Jake Matthews starting to age a little bit, that maybe they're looking at Jonah Williams, the offensive tackle from Alabama. Here's my problem, and I've seen, you know, the offensive lineman from Oklahoma, offensive lineman from Alabama. This is not a draft that strikes me as a future, let's get a guy that can help us 2 or 3 years down the road kind of draft, and offensive linemen tend to be that way. You went out and made a couple of bold moves on the offensive line. This is a draft where you got to get that first pick. You have to have an impact player. So I'm beginning to wonder a little bit, will it be a defensive end? In other words, is Cleveland Furl in their sights?
I don't know. I don't know so much defensive end. If they did, I don't know what message that would send, John, because that means you have a lot of money tied up in edge rushers. And that also screams to me that the two edge rushers that you have, you don't really have that much confidence in.
What do you?
Like I said, if you get another defensive end, that means that you don't have that much confidence in the two guys.
Well, I'm asking with I would think
in this NFL, this new NFL, the quickest path to the quarterback is at the D tackle spot, and you have a lot of young D tackles in this draft that can get after the quarterback. To me, that makes the most sense. If you get that D tackle to put alongside of Grady Jarrett, that, to me, makes your defense better twofold. It makes it easier for your defensive ends who like to run up the field and don't like to put pressure on the pocket. That gives them an opportunity to get sacks because the two guys in the middle are going to be forcing the quarterback to stay back instead of being able to step up in the pocket. So now the two rushers that like to run around the corner and not actually engage people, that gives them the opportunity to get sacks. And it also makes your secondary better. That's how I look at it.
We're talking about the Falcons. Their voluntary workouts begin today, and whether or not Grady and Julio will show up, we certainly hope they do, so we don't have to sit here on the radio tomorrow and say, oh, here we go, phone calls
speculate.
About one or the other not showing up. And you know, what we went through last year with Julio, and he missed one day of camp, one day. And this is a voluntary May, air quotes, voluntary. Now, if they're out, then they – look, if they don't show up today, this is what you're going to hear. Because I'm telling you what you're going to hear. You're going to hear reports from the Falcons where they say, you know, that's fine. They have our permission. We're in touch with them, and everything is good. Okay, that's what you're going to hear. I'm just telling you what the reaction is going to be. I hope they do show up so we don't have to deal with it. But now the speculation is really about 10 days out from the draft. What are the Falcons going to do at 14? One of the things that's really it's frustrating, but it's fascinating to watch the Falcons and Thomas Dimitroff work, because we have no idea. Is he thinking of jumping up to 8 to take Ed Oliver? Is he thinking of taking a defensive end like Cleveland Furl at 14? Is he thinking of dropping back in the draft? Would he actually take an offensive tackle or a defensive back like a DeAndre Baker at 14? You know, it's impossible to get into the mindset of what Thomas Dimitroff is thinking.
There was a lot of talk about, I know we were talking about the DB, DeAndre Baker, and things of that nature. It's really hard to say. I am old school, dyed-in-the-wool defensive lineman. I'm always going to say that that's the best way to build your team, because it is. You get immediate gratification when you draft defensive linemen that can impact the game that some of these young men that are in this draft can potentially do. That's how I look at it. They might be looking at it totally different. They might believe in the guy. They might believe in Deidre Sanat. They might think that he's going to be the guy that's going to be your pass rusher, given the opportunity, given the right situation, he could be the guy that can go out there on third down and give you the pass rush that you need with Grady Jarrett and also help improve the defensive end play. They might be looking at a corner. They might be looking at a lockdown corner to help in the secondary because you've got so many guys in the secondary that are banged up, that are coming off of injuries that you're counting on. Maybe that's the case. But like I said, I always think and feel that in order to make this defense better, it has to be done up front in the trenches.
Well, I'm going to be surprised. The only thing that would surprise me is if they stay at 14 and take Jonah Williams or an offensive lineman, because right now you don't have time to waste. I mean, we all understand that there's pressure on Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn. They have to get an impact player now. Last year, Calvin Ridley kind of fell into their lap. They didn't think Ridley was going to be there, and they scooped him up. And so maybe somebody falls into their lap. Maybe they love DeAndre Baker or Greedy Williams, and they just say, we can't pass him up. We have to take him at this spot. But whoever they take, this is why the only thing that would shock me, shock is a strong word, but the only thing that would surprise me is if they took an offensive lineman with their first pick of the draft, only because of the immediate impact need.
I would say that would be a surprise because of this, John. You look at their last draft picks, and I would say probably outside of Calvin Ridley starting at the beginning of the season, most of the guys they've drafted, young guys, they've kind of been out there, and I'll probably say Tack McKinley as well. They've kind of been in the rotation since day one. Even Tack McKinley was in the rotation. He wasn't a first day starter, but he was in the rotation. He factored into the rotation. I think that with that number one pick, you have to. It's realistic to think that it has to be somebody that is going to come in and play right away. It has to be.
Well, this is why I'm starting to think more and more about defensive end, because you know one of the elephants in the room is Tack. And whether or not, how is he healthy? I mean, the Falcons are public about the fact that they are dealing more in tune with mental health issues. And we haven't really,
to be totally honest, it's one of those situations with Tack. We heard that, one of his friends, made a phone call, getting him some help. And we really haven't heard anything else about it.
I know.
We haven't even heard anything else about it. So that's a tough thing to talk about.
Yeah, it really is. It is a tough thing to talk about, but it makes you wonder when you go out and get Tyler Davison and a big stout run guy and Adrian Claiborne and a veteran that can be an inside-outside guy, whether or not you're thinking about possibly getting another defensive end. I'm just, again, this is why we can't, they don't let us in. Even when we go to Flowery Branch, it's not like Dimitroff says, yeah, come into the war room.
Yeah, see what's going on. No, that ain't about to happen.
Not the only NFL story going on 10 days ahead of the draft in Nashville. Today is deadline day for a superstar in the NFL. We'll tell you who and what. And could we have a shocker? That's next. Again, Tiger Hour coming up top of the hour. Were you there yesterday? Oh, man, please tell me you were. With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Mornings with John and Hugh.
Yeah, that's right, G.
On Sports Radio 92.9 the game.
10 days until the draft in Nashville, Tennessee for the National Football League. And the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. 23 teams today are starting voluntary workouts. Now, 8 teams had already begun. If you have a new head coach and 8 teams have new head coaches, their voluntary offseason workouts get a jump start by a week on everybody else because you got a new head coach. 23 teams start today, including the Atlanta Falcons with their voluntary workouts. The Oakland Raiders, Antonio Brown tweeting out, first day of school tomorrow. Yep, it is the first day of school. Now, the only team that hasn't started and doesn't do so, 31 of the 32, and the only team that doesn't start till next week are the Winer Swampers, and the Winer Swampers will start next week, okay? They're the only team they're getting a late start for their voluntary workout. But the Falcons, of course, working out ahead of the fact that here it is, Hugh, in mid-April, and we got a game coming up August 1st.
Won't be long now.
3.5 months from now, the Falcons will be on the field at the Hall of Fame game against the Denver Broncos in Canton, Ohio. A couple other NFL notes. Today being April 15, tax day and all that kind of stuff, is also Russell Wilson deadline day. And a lot of people are speaking out about Russell Wilson deadline day, saying, Matthew Honeybadger tweeted out that he's thinking that he's gone. Russell Wilson going to be gone to the New York Giants.
I don't know about that. But it is kind of interesting to see how – I think they have till like 4 o'clock. I think it's 4 o'clock today before they make a move to figure out what they're going to do with Russell Wilson.
This is unofficial.
It's unofficial.
It's Russell's deadline.
So I would say probably 4 o'clock business day. So they had probably had to have something done. But then again, they are on the West Coast, so you have to make time, you know, for that. So it'd probably be a little bit earlier, whether or not they're going to make a decision. So that would probably be what, 2 o'clock our time, Daryl?
No, it'd be later our time. It'd be like 8 o'clock.
8
our
o'clock?
Time.
8 o'clock?
Yeah, 7, 8 o'clock.
Okay, my bad. I'm talking about, but the business on this end, because they're 3 hours behind us, correct?
Right.
So, yeah, it has to be at least by what, 2? Because 5 o'clock business hours at the NFL office ends at 5, right?
Yeah, to their time, correct. Yes.
Yeah, so it had to be 2 o'clock.
They wanted to,
yeah.
Right, if they wanted to announce something, right.
Yeah, they had to do something.
Well, they wouldn't have to necessarily file the paperwork. They could just make an announcement that they, you
okay,
know,
well, yeah, okay. Right? I'm just saying to make it official. Official,
make it official,
official.
Correct,
yeah.
Correct. Jack Del Rio on record saying Wilson's going to be traded to the Giants. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, says through a source that the Seahawks believe Russ wants to play somewhere else, and that's why he put this deadline out. Now, they could tag him this year if they want to, but...
No, I don't think that'll make him happy.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think he wants to be paid. I think he wants to get what he feels he's worth. Then you look at it. Look at it from his perspective. From day one, when he became the starting quarterback, he's kind of taken, you know, team-friendly deals. Now it's time for him to try to get his. And you got to admire him for his timing. And, you know, it's funny because you think about young players and taking deals that they take.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to what they say, when the chickens come home to roost, he's put them in a position where they have to, like, go or get off the pot. Because they haven't – I can almost guarantee you, John, they have not factored in implementing the new quarterback into their system just yet. So for him, this is what you call poetic justice. Because he's in a position right now where they have to make a decision or he's going to go somewhere else. And if Russell Wilson is on the open market as a quarterback – he's going to get a lot of money. So he's put himself in a great position.
He's going to get a lot of money, and he's going to take Seattle to a different place. And if I were Seattle, Hugh, I would trade him. If I could get the right deal, because look at the division you're in, and look at the Legion of Boom is gone, right? I mean,
yes.
It's gone. And so you have to kind of, if you're Pete Carroll, start over. You're in a division where you're chasing not just the Rams. You might be chasing the 49ers at this point.
Maybe.
I mean, the 49ers have done a pretty darn good job quietly of building a team that can contend. And I think they'll be actually a pretty good football team this year. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in Arizona, but Russ has been linked to Arizona and he's been linked to the Giants in a 3-team deal that might wind him up in New York or Arizona. So, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens, but that's that deadline deal today. Maybe it comes and goes and nothing happens, but if it does, I think Russell Wilson is going to be squawking. Let's put it that way. And maybe it's time for Seattle to just, as great a player as he's been, and he has been a great player for them, maybe you just at some point retool your whole, you know, if you can get, what if you can get certain picks? What if you can get pick, maybe you can get the number one pick. Maybe you can get Kyler Murray in Seattle.
That might be the case, John, but are you prepared to do that right now? That's the question, and I don't think that they are. And how soon will Kyler Murray be ready to run your offense? That's a question that they probably weren't factoring in. Now, listen, I'm not sitting here trying to say that Seattle Seahawks would not survive without Russell Wilson, but he makes it a little bit easier for what you want to do, or maybe they feel like this is a reload for them.
Let me ask you a question. Let's forget about all these scenarios, because if you read through all these scenarios about multiple team trades involving the Raiders, the Giants, and Arizona and Seattle, right? And it's like, this team gets this team gets this. They concoct all these multiple team scenarios. CBS is doing it. NFL.com is doing it. Everybody seems to be doing it. If it were as simple as just a clean thing, Arizona calls up Seattle today and says, we'll trade you the number one pick for Russ. If you're Seattle, would you make that pick? Essentially, we're trading you Kyler Murray for Russ. Would you do it?
I don't think so. Because this is the thing that I think, especially when it comes to new coaches and old quarterbacks. You have the number one pick in the draft. You have the opportunity to get a young quarterback that you can mold him to be exactly what you want him to be for the most part. You're talking about in a veteran in Russell Wilson where, yeah, he might win some games, but he's not going to do it in the way that you want it done. And, you know, I know a lot of people are probably listening and talking about, what do you mean, Hugh? Coaches are just like anybody else. They want to put their stamp on certain individuals. And I would think that Cliff Kingsbury coming into the NFL, he wants to do it his way and win his way. And that means with the quarterback that he's most familiar with, and one that he has groomed in his image. And with that being said, you got a guy that somebody else has groomed, has set in his ways, is going to probably question the way that you're running your offense.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that. As a coach, you don't want a quarterback back there questioning the offense that you're trying to run.
Russell Wilson is on record as saying if he doesn't have a long-term deal that makes him the highest paid player in the history of the game by tonight, he's out. Now, would he change his mind at some point?
I think between him and his wife, they'll be okay. I mean, seriously. I think that when you're looking at the position that he's in, if he walked away from football right now, he'll be okay. Two Super Bowl appearances, went 1-1, he'll be okay. I think that's how he's looking at it. He's probably going to be in position, John, and it's a beautiful thing, to do whatever else he wants to do and have no issues, has no problem walking away from the game of
football. Opening game this year. Where is Russell Wilson taking the first snap at quarterback?
I would say Seattle.
Find out today. Deadline day in Seattle. Be really interesting. All right. Clear the decks out here a little bit. Let's talk about what happened yesterday. If you were there, I really want to hear from you. If you were there. Plus, there's a lot of big names eating a lot of crow right now. Wait till you hear, because we've got it. We're going to play it for you next. But all these big names, and you'll recognize them when you hear them, said about Tiger Woods just within the last year or so about his chances of ever winning a major again. It's pretty fun audio. And we have it for you next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.